the New York Knicks acquired Mikal Bridges from the Brooklyn Nets for 4 unprotected first-round picks, a pick swap, a protected top 4 Bucks pick, and a second overall pick, second round pick. And I'm sorry, that is, I understand that's a lot of picks, right? You hear how many picks that is, right? So that's 4 unprotected first round picks, another first round pick, a swap, a second round pick. And you're like, well, Mikal Bridges, while a good player, a very good player, a good shooter, plays every game, you know, led the league in minutes, I believe, a couple times. Excellent player. I don't know if he's a superstar player. And so that sounds like a lot of picks. But here's the issue. Jalen Brunson and the New York Knicks are going nowhere. They're going absolutely nowhere. He's 27. Mikal Bridges now is 28. There's still room for OG Anunoby. I would expect him to still sign him. Yeah, okay. Hartenstein might go, and we'll talk about the element of that and the thing that bothers me about possibly losing Hartenstein, especially now that they have all these shooters. But you bring the Villanova 4 in, right? That's going to be great. This team is going nowhere. The Nets just got a bunch of back end of the first round trades. I mean, picks, excuse me. They couldn't get like McBride. They couldn't get another player. I know it's a lot of picks, but they couldn't get McBride or another player to come. Like, this is just, I'm sorry. This is a great trade for the New York Knicks. And I understand that there was, you know, I mean, you want a superstar? Who are the superstars coming? Right, I was listening this morning to Boomer and Geo, and Jerry was filling in, and they wanted no part of Paul George. Oh, no, Paul George. Well, I mean, these are the superstars. Mitchell's going to stay in Cleveland. Like, what superstars are coming? This is a player who fits in perfect with them. You know the chemistry's going to fit, right? They're best friends. It's going to be an extremely tight team and a tight group. We've seen the benefits of already having players who've won together from Villanova. You had another player like like Bridges, who can shoot, who can defend, who plays all the time. This is a great. I understand it's a lot of picks. The Knicks still have 5 picks over the next 3 years. So for the Knicks, I think it's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer. And for the Nets, this is a fan base that already has nothing, right? This is a Knicks town. You have one asset. And for a bunch of picks from a team that's going to be good for the next, I mean, you got the unprotected pick, sure, 25, 27, 29, 31, maybe 29 and 31 become something. Maybe. The protected Bucks picks in 25, I don't know what you think that's going to be. Right, they are now right there as the top of the secondary rung inside the Eastern Conference. They are right there, just below the Celtics, which you have to give them credit for. I don't care who they played. I don't care how easy a route was. They went through the NBA playoffs like a hot knife through butter. All right, they're the best team in the NBA. They're the best team in the Eastern Conference. And this does not put, I can't tell you, this puts them on level with the Celtics. But I will go now that Randall coming back. I mean, listen to this. You have Brunson, Randall, Bridges, OG Anunoby. I don't think they're going to get Hartenstein back, which sucks because his offensive game and the passing, his passing ability with all these shooters would be tremendous. And we're going to find out because they can offer him some money. I don't know if they're going to be able to offer him enough to stay. It sounds like he's going to get a lot of offers from around the NBA. He's probably not going to be able to stay. We'll see. But, I mean, we'll see if they play Randall at the 5, but then you've got Hart, you've got McBride, who's really shown over the, you know, especially through the end of the season and into the playoffs when they needed him because of injury, how he stepped up. DiVincenzo. I mean, you are going to have one of the deepest rosters in the NBA, bar none. And now a starting 5 that rivals anyone this side of the Boston Celtics inside the Eastern Conference. And, you know, for it to come about this quickly because, like, I can't help but look at this a little bit from the Nets angle because, and I even tweeted this out, like, to be an NBA player, I know he had some leverage when he said, I want to be a Knick, and I'm going to tell any team that inquires about trading for me that I intend to sign with the Knicks once I hit free agency. So I understand that limits maybe some of the Nets' prospects, but I'm sorry. I can't. It's the first trade since 1983. I wasn't even alive the last time these two franchises made a trade. And I'm sorry, but you have to compete on some level with the New York Knicks just for fans and I don't know about back pages anymore, but you can't just give it. You can't give him to the Knicks, and especially when this isn't a aging Knick team looking for one more shot at it. Like, this is a young group that's going to be good for a long time. Now, anything could happen. I get that. Anything could happen. Knock on wood, but there could be devastating injuries. There could be whatever. So maybe it's a little simplistic for me and a little short-sighted of me to say these picks are meaningless, but I'm sorry. These picks are meaningless. I understand there's a lot of them, and they're in rebuild mode, and then they just made a very good trade with Houston to get some of their own picks back because they're going to be terrible. So Nets have gone into rebuilding mode, but to just hand over your biggest asset, the one player worth watching, just to give them to the Knicks for a bunch of picks at the back end of the first round, this is a fantastic move for the New York Knicks. I mean, it doesn't get better than this. He's not the best player I could think of, but he fits the team perfectly. You know this group is extremely tight, and there's no doubt that their tightness has led to where they are. And to now add another player they've already been at war with, another player they've won with, another player who is going to fit, buy in, part of this Knick culture that is developing here, doesn't get hurt, plays all the time, can shoot. I mean, he checks almost all the boxes to fit inside this Jalen Brunson-led team. And I just think, I know it's a lot of picks, but what are they going to do? The Knicks have two first-round picks this year. Anybody that particularly excited about it? Right? Anybody particularly excited about the Knicks picks? They're going to add some depth to the roster, hopefully. Hopefully. Great. The Nets just got four of those. Bravo. And they just gave the Knicks the title of the second-best team in the Eastern Conference. What a day, right? And especially right in the moment. The moment could not have been more bizarre. Because we're watching this, and you know, again, I can give you the both perspectives, but I am a Yankee fan. So as I'm watching this crap, as I'm watching this team fold, as I'm watching Gleyber Torres hit you in every way, shape, and form, whether it's the first at bat strikeout, whether it's the defensive play, whether it's not running out of ground ball, I'm watching the Gleyber Torres experience, and they're just starting to get back into it. Namely, well, Ben Rice was a part of it. What a shocker. Play the kid! That bothers me more than anything. Guys are hung up on where Gleyber Torres hits. Why isn't Ben Rice out there? But as I'm watching this slop, the game just gets interesting. I go to check Twitter after the grand slam just to see the panic in the Met fan and know that we share some of the idiocy along the fan bases. Or a little the panic, should I say. Because I know there's Met fans who thought they were going to lose the game the second that ball went over the wall. So, and then I see this. I'm like, what? What an experience. 888-808-1019. I think this is going to be a huge success for the New York Knicks. And right now, I mean, we're going to be, we haven't experienced this because even last year it became this after January, right? Into the playoffs, it became this real high pitch, this fever pitch love for this team. But we didn't go into the season that way. We had fair expectations. You thought the Knicks would be a playoff team. You hoped that, you know, I don't think anybody really thought that they would be on par with Milwaukee, with Boston, with Philadelphia. You thought they'd be right there with the rest of the teams, just below those three. So there was excitement, don't get me wrong. Looking forward to Brunson's second year, you know, knew there could be some moves possibly with all the picks they've built up, but this is going to be different. From the beginning, from opening night, there are going to be expectations of NBA Finals. That's what the Nets just provided the New York Knicks, as well as the basketball player. They provided the Knicks and this town the excitement of making an NBA Finals while your squad is about to fade away into irrelevancy. And I understand Sean Marks has done a very good job building up this team in prior, his first real go-round before the disaster that was the super team. But I don't care what Mikal Bridges walked into my office and said, I'm not trading him to the Knicks. Not trading him to the Knicks. I don't care. You want to go there. I don't care. I would have held out a little bit. I wouldn't have just said, oh, you want to go to the Knicks? Sure. Let me call Leon Rose right now. Hey, Leon, throw me like an extra pick or two and a swap than you normally thought you would have. No, don't give me McBride. No, cool. You keep him. No, we'll take Bogdanovich back. Thanks.